And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bub in the Bloom, episode 340. It's a Tuesday Bloom Board evening coming your way. Going to hit on the mid-round slow starting pitchers, that hitters last week, pitchers this week, to get you kind of on the should we panic mode in a roundabout way with some pitchers this season. We'll talk some recent news because there's plenty of that and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, my friend?
Bubba, it's a pleasure to watch you watch a Giants-Dodgers game in the late innings of a close game. I'll just leave it as that. The range of emotions, even to good players, even to Willy Adames, you're just all over the map. Little unhinged. It's great to see.
Yeah, it's good times, especially when. We'll just leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that. Yeah, Ryan Walker's getting loose for the ninth, so we might have some really good.
Ryan Walker is getting loose. Let's go.
Jeff Hoffman got yanked trying to get a save in Anaheim. It's
some choice words for Patrick Bailey earlier. Really should be recorded for Patreon bonus content at this point. Can't put that stuff out publicly, but would be a nice. No, it's not safe for anything. It's barely safe for me, but I laugh at it, so I have a good time.
Yep, that's me. And look at that. Varland comes in and gets the job done that easily. That was quick. Didn't even look up. So there you go. Louis Varland save in Toronto. Well, they're reviewing it potentially, but they got that going for them. But yeah, how's everything else going? Did you get all your fab bids in on Sunday night?
I did. I was playing baseball with my kids when Fab locked, so missed out on all that fun. Played baseball with my kids again tonight and rolled my ankle playing catch with my four-year-old. Then got laughed at by both of them. So that's where I'm at tonight. Ankles not on ice. Hopefully we'll just wake up tomorrow and it's not the most painful part of my body. So we'll see how that goes. But other than that, doing good, man. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. A busy weekend in the books, watching a lot of baseball.
Golf tournaments,
barbecuing, good to be Bubba. Golf tournaments. Once in a while, it's good to be Bubba. Yes, let's clarify that because otherwise there's a lot of other things going on that keeps me plenty busy. But life is good. It's a lot better than a lot of fantasy baseball teams these days with injury galore, relief pitching destruction, and much more. So let's get to the injury destruction out the gate with relief pitching at the same time. Sure. Edwin Diaz of the Los Angeles Dodgers will have elbow surgery to remove some loose bodies in his elbow. He'll miss at least 3 months with the injury, Ryan. What are your thoughts on this one? We drop in Edwin Diaz.
I think so. Because is it actually 3 months? 3 months is already, late July. So
The goal is 3 months, yes.
And if that's the goal, how often do we actually reach the goal in life? Infrequently. So I think so. This was just, I don't know. The severity of it to me was kind of shocking out the gate, right? I think we all kind of knew something was wrong with Edwin Diaz, even on Sunday. I think Sunday he came in the eighth and didn't get an out and I think had three hits and a walk, something like that. And with lower velocity, something was obviously wrong. And then we hear on, I think it was Monday, that the surgery was going down. So, I think Diaz is a drop. I everyone asks, we have a week to see what the usage is going to be. Tanner Scott is pitching in the eighth, down 3-1 tonight. We all know how your guy, Dave Roberts, tends to manage these things. And I think it's all going to be matchups, leverage, whatever. I don't think there's going to be a clear guy, but that also doesn't mean to not target that bullpen, right? I mean, we've kind of talked about this, the size of the pie for Dodgers saves is quite large. So even if you get 40% of the pie, if that's Tanner Scott, if that's Alex Vesia, if that's Blake Treinen, that's still enough pie to fill you up. So let's see what the leverage, what the patterns look like this week. And I'm sure we'll all overreact in Fab next week and do this all again.
We will 100% overreact it because we're going to have a few more to discuss along the way here. But to your point on the Dodgers, Dave Roberts flat out said there will be no clear cut guy. It'll be a committee. And those were the three names Scott Fessia and Trinan. Now Scott's got the contract. He's got the quote-unquote best stuff. So we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, it's like I said on the Fab Show with Kunell, who actually got the save on Monday for the A's. That
Have we ever confirmed the pronunciation of this dude?
No.
Okay, we'll just leave it that way. That's fine.
Yeah, it's the Bubba way. We just don't do that. Even if it's 50 to 60% of the pie, I'm in this era in baseball, because I was recording a Fantasy Pro show with Joe Arrico earlier this evening, and we looked it up. 86 pitchers entered Tuesday with at least one save this year. 86. We're like barely a month into the season. 86 pitchers have a save. I think it was like 54 have at least two saves. So that's everything. Like the Rockies have five guys with saves. It's a mess everywhere you go. So just take what you can get. It's the way I look at it. Speaking of which, the Atlanta Braves, Raisel Iglesias, hopefully did not go to the same pillow doctor that Michael King went to, because he slept on his shoulder wrong, didn't pitch Saturday, got the save on Sunday, went to the AL Monday. Right. With a shoulder injury. So he'll be out at least 2 weeks. Robert Suarez will step in to that role. But we say at least 2 weeks because we thought Michael King had nothing wrong last year. We got to hope nothing's wrong with Raisel, but we don't know for sure.
We have no idea. Is this even a pillow situation? I have no clue. I thought we were in the clear here. I thought with the Sunday save that we'd be good. I went to sleep Sunday night feeling good, and Iglesias in all lineups and then not. So. Not great. It does, again, do we trust the team? Do we trust the team what they say? It sounded like they debated even putting Iglesias on the IL. They were thinking of just having him not throw for 4 to 5 days. So I don't know. Robert Suarez is obviously the guy. I don't think Robert Suarez is a pickup. I feel like he's pretty universally still rostered and has pitched extremely well. I think just one earned run in 9 2/3, ton of strikeouts, just a walk. So I wonder, like, what are the odds? I mean, the way this season's gone, Robert Suarez will be on the IL in a week. But, you know, if Robert Suarez gets 2-3 saves this week and Iglesias comes back, what does that look like? I'm speculating here, but this one's a lot more clear-cut than the Dodgers situation. It is Robert Suarez. I think the uncertainty is what happens when, you know, assuming Raisel Iglesias comes back healthy in 15 days, what's that going to be? And I think a lot hinges on what Robert Suarez does these next 2 weeks. But yeah, if you have Robert Suarez, you stash him, congratulations. You get the fruits of that labor. Maybe not for this week, because I think the announcement was post lineup lock, but you get it for next week.
Yeah, if he's on your waiver wire, you got at least another week to go. But like the way I look at it is, let's say it's a month, because he has to, maybe he needs more time or he needs a rehab appearance or two. So let's say it's like the Johan Duran situation. They have Brad Keller involved. Look at what Brad Keller went for. I'd probably up the bids on that one with Robert Suarez. The crazier part is, and you kind of hinted at it there, like, what if Robert Suarez does so well? Like, do they just give Iglesias the ball back? That's what I'm really curious about, because Suarez has been so good this year. Iglesias has been fine, but Suarez has been better, is the thing. So
Iglesias has been awesome. And remember, Iglesias lost the job last year and did get it back, but the Braves had nobody. It's because they had no other
Robert Suarez sitting there.
Robert Suarez was not sitting there for the ninth. So it'll be an interesting one to track. As someone who has a lot of Raisel Iglesias, this one hurts, because he was actually pitching well. Like, and I don't think we could have predicted a shoulder. I mean, whatever, injuries, it could happen to anybody. But it's not like Iglesias lost the job. It's a tough one to swallow, seeing Iglesias and Sonny Gray in so many of my lineups on Monday, and they're both injured. So fun times.
Yep. Very, very fun times there. On a Mets note, a potentially positive Mets note, as they lost their 12th game in a row on Tuesday, they're calling up Christian Scott, who was rehabbing was in AAA to start the year, as he's still working back from an injury from last year. But he's going to come up, join the rotation. David Peterson is going to head to the bullpen for now. Dakota Senga stays in the rotation. Some thought Senga would head to the pen. That has not happened as of yet. Scott made 3 starts at AAA, through 13 2/3 inning, allowed 8 earned runs, but 6 of those came in his first start. His last 2 starts, 10 1/3, 2 earned runs, 12 strikeouts to go with 2 walks. Looked very good. This is a former big-time prospect right now. So Christian Scott, obviously, if he pitches well on Thursday, prices will change a lot, but I still think he's going to be a highly, highly heralded Fab acquisition this week.
I think so. Numbers, yeah, look really good. And we do have, I'll plug the Patreon real quick. We have a minor league leaderboard here for not just kind of the stuff you find on Fangraphs, but it's also got the Statcast stuff for AAA pitchers like Christian Scott. So you get the pitch mix, you get the swinging strike, ball percentage, all that kind of stuff. And all that checks out for Christian Scott. I did not realize Christian Scott's 27 years old. He was old. Did he not even pitch last year?
I don't believe so. I believe he was. No, he pitched briefly. No, he did not. You're right. Yeah, he had Tommy John surgery.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I let's see. I wonder, like, that makes fab bidding very tricky. I don't know how many innings you're going to get out of Christian Scott this season, but certainly looks very good and has been, like you said, a longtime heralded prospect, like pretty consistently elite skills in the minors throughout his career. But volume for me is a major issue in terms of like redraft value and fab bidding amounts, and I don't think that's going to change depending how Christian Scott pitches this week.
And it'll be interesting, like hopefully we obviously have more news by Sunday, but like the reports are Senga remains in rotation. Like I said, Peterson will remain in the bullpen for the next time through the rotation. They're not guaranteeing the full time, so like this is, I'd be shocked if you call Scott up for one start, but they haven't said he's going to stick in the rotation. Like you look at RotoWire's chart, they have him pitching on Thursday, but then nothing past that right now. So
right,
definitely have to keep an eye on that before you do get aggressive on fab time. All right. Sonny Gray went on the IL with a hamstring injury. Hurt us all. We know. Patriots Day game. Wins again. It looks like it's going to be a minimal stint, hopefully, for Sonny Gray. Hopefully. Soft tissues. You never know. Looks like these are all speculations because nothing's been official. It appears Peyton Tolley is going to get called up by the Red Sox and join the rotation later this week in Sonny Gray's absence, which would be like Friday or Saturday was when they want to plug him in to this start. Yeah, right now he's projected to pitch Saturday at Baltimore. And if that sticks, he gets the Astros next week. What are your thoughts on Peyton Tolley, who should get some heavy bids as well?
Yeah, he has been fantastic. Peyton, I was listening to Rates and Barrels earlier today, and Eno was saying Peyton Tolley has the best stuff plus of any pitcher in AAA right now. And you can debate the merits of stuff plus, whatever. I like to check it out in small samples, and simply to be the best in a metric like that in AAA is a good thing, and I think something that is noteworthy. The strikeout and walk numbers look really good for Peyton Tolley as well. So I guess my concern would similar concern to Christian Scott, but not health-wise. It's just what happens when Sonny Gray comes back. Is Peyton Tolley just up for a couple starts and then back down? Because it doesn't seem like the Sonny Gray thing was too serious. It could have just been he's pitching at 11 a.m. in cold weather and he's old and the hamstring just wasn't there. So that would be my only deal with Peyton Tolley, is like how long is he up for? But yeah, the skills look really good, and this era of deep league starting pitching, as we will discuss on tonight's episode, it's rough out there, and at a certain time you have to take a shot on skills and skill players and hope the playing time and the role is there. So I am very interested in Peyton Tolley. I have written him up for Wednesday's speculator column called Skills Needing Roles, something like that. I forget the name of my own column, but Peyton Tolley is in there, and I was very impressed with what he's shown so far this year.
Looking forward to it. Ryan Walker, a clean ninth for the save.
Wow. Yeah, you know? How about that?
You guys are all welcome for why I dropped him, so that's probably
I think I dropped him in a league last week, too.
There's no reason to hold him, but now he's going to figure it out. But on the Peyton Tolley front, like we're talking about, he's replacing Sonny Gray, which he is. But let's be real. He should be replacing Brian Bello when Gray gets back. That's the conversation we should probably be having in this rotation. Now, do they do that with a quote, more veteran pitcher? I don't know. I think the Red Sox need some more boost in their team to get things going. Crochet's struggling. They're obviously not replacing Crochet. Don't get me wrong. But Bayo would be the next man to look at here because Early's been fine. Ronjer Suarez has been fine. There's good stuff out there outside of Brian Bayo right now. So yeah, that could be a thing.
Agreed.
Zach Wheeler, he is officially going to return to the Philadelphia Phillies on Saturday, so keep that in mind. If you had him, you probably already put him in, or you're just going to wait and see, but they did announce he will join the rotation on Saturday against the Atlanta Braves. The one, like I own one or maybe two teams, I did not start him this week. I decided to wait and see with the velocity down and the Braves are actually swinging it well at the moment. I was like, yeah, let's just wait and see how this goes.
That's what I was going to ask you, because you are, I don't want to call you the Wheeler guy, but I know you have some Wheeler. I know you got him in the meatball. But yeah, for the listeners out there who can make midweek swaps or midweek activations or even daily leagues, I would also do a wait and see here, just because, like you said, you hinted at the velocity just now. And I want to see what Zach Wheeler looks like against major league pitching, what that velocity looks like, because a fastball that's three ticks lower than what we're used to with Zach Wheeler, that can make a big difference. He could go from an elite pitcher to still a good pitcher, but I want to see how he looks first.
Agreed. Jackson Holloway was over the weekend taken off of his rehab because of a sore wrist. Took a couple days off, began his rehab again on Tuesday, swung at a ball, fouled it off his foot, left with more hand discomfort.
Oh, it seems like that.
Yeah, left with more hand discomfort.
I didn't know he fouled the ball off his foot.
Yeah, but the foot's not the problem, unfortunately. It was the swing that hurt his hand again. Yeah. So I feel like there's going to shut him down for a while. I guess it's not healing well at all for Jackson Holliday. And those that decided to pay up a lot of money for Jeremiah Jackson this week are feeling much better about life.
Yep, I don't have too much to add there. More runway for Jeremiah, and tougher to hold on to Jackson Holliday in non-IL leagues.
And then just something to keep an eye on, Wyatt Langford left Tuesday's game with a right forearm injury. The latest I just saw right now is Wyatt said the forearm tightness developed in his second at bat. He went back out for defense, and the throwing he did before the inning felt fine. He'll have an MRI on Wednesday. So
with this guy, yeah, man, it's soft tissue stuff just all over the place. So it's not great. Hope he's good.
Hey, and if you're curious, Nick Lodolo will make a rehab start on Sunday. So
yeah, just can't wait for update. The subsequent news update that he left the start early with a blister trying to throw a curveball.
Wasn't going to go there, but you know it, baby. All right. Anything else before we talk bloom boards, Ryan? Bloom boards, bloom boards, bloom boards.
Yeah, no, I'm sick of injuries. Let's talk bloom boards. Let's talk about crappy starting pitchers instead. Yep. That'll really get us in the right mood. All right. So this bloom board is continuing our kind of theme from last week on middle round slow starts. We are avoiding the early round picks because we will be saying the same thing about each of them. Like Garrett Crochet, we're not doing anything with Garrett Crochet. Those early guys you're rolling with. The late round guys you probably have already cut and moved on. So I feel like this middle round is a nice kind of place to see who's most actionable in terms of what we think on these guys and whether you should be starting, sitting, dropping in some cases with some of these guys and so forth. So I think the filters that I put on here were an ADP over 75 with an ERA above 4 and a WHIP above 1.3.
Yep, I got you right here.
Show sheet.
I got you. It's an ADP from 75 to 300, ERA over 4, WHIP over 1.3. Correct.
Wow. 3 for 3. Jesus. Yep.
You nailed it.
That's rare. So we've got a list of 20 pitchers. I'm assuming we'll just kind of go through all. I think just in general, and maybe we'll start with this. Like in general, what are you looking at in terms of, like, because we've got maybe 4 starts. Is it your typical strikeout to walk? Is it game logs? Is it competition? Is it all the above? Like what's your general approach to like how worried we should be on some of these pitchers?
The strikeout to walk is big, which also factors in control, which is big. Like, are they just not, like, are they getting hit around? Are they not getting hit around? Like, are they locating? Those kind of things. So I need the control, because, like, some guys are just, I was actually, you know, you got Lizardo, who's frustrating, cool. But his BABIP's through the roof. It's like 417, 50% ground ball rate. Like, there's certain things you can at least point to and look at. Even Christopher Sanchez, who has a high WHIP right now, his ground ball rate's like, what, 60-something percent? His BABIP's over 400. So certain things you can kind of point to, where there's other guys, if they're just walking guys and then giving up home runs or not striking guys, like not getting swinging strikes, that stands out a little more to me.
Okay. Yeah. A couple other things I'd look at. I do like to look at some of the games, especially some of these early games in the season with weather and that sort of thing, just trying to find some context there. If it's just one bad outing, I'm a little bit more lenient than someone who's just consistently sucked. Fastball velocity is another good one too. I like to look at that and see if that's stable from previous seasons. And then the per pitch metrics Swinging strike rate, your league average on that's around 11.5%. We cite that all the time. And then ball rate, league average on that is 36%. So I want to see if you're missing bats, throwing strikes, especially in these kind of smaller samples. Looking at per pitch, those two per pitch metrics is something that I keen in on as well.
Yeah, and majority of these guys, just at an initial glance, we're always going to talk about them. You're pretty much just going to hold, but there are a few I would be pretty opposed
there's a few
to.
That are
pooled. Yeah, there's a few I'd be willing to pull the trigger on, but let's start with the first one here. Emmett Sheehan, his ADP was 91 on the season. He's made four starts this year. He's thrown 20 innings, has a 5.85 ERA with a 1.4 whip and 18 strikeouts, Ryan. That 18 strikeouts is backed up with an 11% K to walk. I think he's on the struggle bus. There's still some things that point out to be very good. Like you'll hit on the swinging strike rate and other factors. But when you look at Emmett Sheehan, it was a guy I was never really in on a lot to begin with. But what are your thoughts when you look at Emmett Sheehan?
Yeah, I'm a little less concerned than I was starting out the season with Sheehan. The velocity's come back a little bit. Yeah, it's down a little bit over a tick from 2025, which you don't like, but still at 94.2. Like that's not too bad. I think the biggest thing Sheehan is he is missing bats, right? He is missing bats. It's a 13% swing strike, which is really good. Like a general rule of thumb with swinging strike rate, just double it, and that roughly can be your K rate. Now some guys above below that based on, you know, their arsenal, how good they are at putting guys away, but that's a general rule of thumb. Emmett Sheehan is a 13% swing strike, only a 21% strikeout rate. So I would expect a few more Ks in the future. But yeah, I would say mildly concerned. I'd put a scale of like 1 to 10, probably like a 5, just because the velocity is down a little bit and the control is a little bit out of whack. Fewer first pitch strikes, fewer strikes in general, and more walks along with the lower velocity. And I mean, kind of the elephant in the room too is like the injuries, right? Injury history. Like with Emmett Sheehan, you paid up for what you thought you would get, like elite per inning numbers. Emmett Sheehan, at least in the majors the last few seasons, 60 innings in 23, none in 2024, 73 innings last year, and already at 20 this year. So you just wonder, like, how much of the season has he already pitched? And especially with lower velocity is my biggest concern.
Yeah, it's interesting just looking at his game logs. I'm using HQ. I really enjoy the way they break this down. Like his last two starts, only 77 pitches. So I could, like it was 5 innings and 6 innings. So I got the innings, but didn't go deep into the games. Things you hit on, like the first pitch strikes, for the most part, have been rough. The velocity, that Colorado game was cold as hell. So 93.9, I'll give him that. Yep. Not sure what Washington was, but like at home versus Arizona, at home versus Texas, he's 94.95. So to your point, I just wanted to kind of add on to that for the listeners. We're seeing some pluses there, but just in general, it's like 4Ks, 6Ks, 2Ks, 6Ks. Like it's not really lighting the world on fire either, which I would hope for more from Emmett Sheehan. So yeah, I guess like a 5 is fair. I was never in on him to begin with, so I was already concerned, I guess, before the season started on a few factors. But yeah, he's getting it done, I guess. But I'd be concerned if he doesn't get it done. I know it's like a month away, but Blake Snell is starting a rehab assignment this week. So you're about a month away from having someone else join the rotation, assuming no one else gets hurt. So
the other thing I'll add, maybe it's a good idea to kind of round out each pitcher. Starting pitcher planner, next few starts for Sheehan is at home against the Cubs on Friday and then at the Cardinals. I'm probably good rolling matches with him for both. Yeah.
Yep. For sure. Yep. All right. Guy that I'll walk out of the room here and let Ryan wax poetically. Nate the Great, Eovaldi, ADP of 114, 26 innings pitched, 5.06 ERA, 1.54 whip with 29 strikeouts. Still has a pretty nice, an okay 17% K to walk. You'd like to see a little more there from Nate the Great, but a lot of that is because the control is not there from Nate Eovaldi compared to what we've seen in years past. And the long ball is flowing off of Nate Eovaldi. So when you look at his profile, what's standing out to you?
Not worried at all. And I swear this is me not being stubborn. The velo is just as good as it was last year. He's missing more bats than he did last year. He's still throwing a ton of strikes. It's a 34% ball rate. Again, league average is 36%. So Evaldi's still better in that regard. I would expect the high walk or the walk rate, which actually it's not even that bad. So I don't know. I just think this is one where it's just a ton of bad luck. It's a 354 BABIP. It's a near 20% homer to fly ball rate. That league average on that is like 11%. I forget exactly what it is this year, but it always kind of hovers around that. That's not going to last. Nate Evaldi to me looks actually very similar to the Nate Evaldi we've seen in recent years. And yeah, he pitched over his head in recent years. He hasn't been that great, but he's nowhere near this bad. I'm not worried actually at all about Nate Evaldi.
Yeah, and to kind of highlight it, the first two starts were rough. His last three at home against Seattle, at the A's, at Seattle, it was 18 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, 5 walks, 17 strikeouts, only 2 home runs over that stretch. So yeah. Much better, Nate the Great, like home run to fly ball down to 15.4, to your point. ERA of 2 over that section, and a K to walk of 15.6. So much more like the Eovaldi we've grown to love and expect on our teams. So no complaints.
Next couple starts, hosts the A's, which I like, and then hosts the Yankees, which is a little tougher, but zero concerns. You're rolling Evaldi out there.
All right, Sonny Gray is obviously on the IL, so that's a concern to begin with. But yeah. you and I were kind of texting about him already. Like we're worried about a few things because he has like a 13% strikeout rate on the season over his 23 innings pitched, which 4.3 ERA, 1.3 WHIP. It's a 13% carry, 8% K to walk rate. That is not what you sign up for with Sonny Gray, and he's just not making guys miss bats, Ryan. It's not the guy we've seen the last like 3 or 4 years that all of a sudden became a strikeout guy. He's reverting back to that previous guy, which will get him in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and again, this was pre-injury. We had these concerns with Sonny Gray. So we have on our live Bloom boards, Sonny Gray is the second biggest skill fall in terms of swinging, strike, and ball rate from last year. Down from 12 to 8% in swinging, strike, and the ball rate is up from 34 to 39%, which is pretty terrible. So that's the second worst fall. Do you want to know who the worst fall is in terms of skills from this year to last year, Bubba?
Logan Webb.
Cole Reagans. Oh, Reagans.
I should have known. I don't know if you're trolling my team I like or a player. Where's Kyle Bradish on the list?
You knew it was one of those two. Where is Bradish here?
Gotta be near the top of it too.
Oh, hey, I list the bottom. I list the top 15 and bottom 15. Bradish must be the 16th worst. He's not on the list.
Look, you go to talk about Bradish and your camera zooms in on you. It's freaking amazing.
Oh, no, did it zoom?
Yeah, that's awesome. But because Bradish, that's a whole other conversation. Too bad he got drafted too early to talk about him tonight. But
same with Reagans. I get it.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on Sonny Gray? Because, like, yeah, you're holding him. You're not getting rid of him. But I am concerned that we're not seeing the swing and miss, and that's going to cause a lot of problems. Especially, I know there's a more balanced schedule these days, but that AL East schedule won't bode well for him.
I don't know, man. This thing won't zoom out on me, so I look freaking huge in this YouTube video.
I love every time your camera messes up because
I gotta stop talking with my hands, dude. I didn't even mean to do this.
This is great.
No, I have Sonny Gray in a bunch of leagues. I'm holding him through the IL stint, just hoping this gets better. You tack on the age with all the skill fun, like, yeah, this could be a pretty low floor. This could be pretty rough, but I'm hoping for better days, for sunnier days than this.
There you go. Well done. There's a nice little beverage out here at one of the local breweries called Sunny Days. Nice crisp warm day. It's a good beverage.
I could use one of those. Sunny could use one of those too, probably.
Sunny could use a few of those. Trevor Rogers, now this is one I'm really kind of curious your thoughts. 28 and two-thirds innings so far this year, a 4.08 ERA, a 1.33 WHIP, 25 strikeouts, has a 4.34 xERA. So, like, if you look at the expected stats, they're saying this is pretty much on point, I guess, would be the way to look at this. It's a 13% K to walk, not what we want to see. It's been rocky, Ryan, with Trevor Rogers, especially his last few starts. He's allowed 9 earned runs over his last two starts at Cleveland and versus Arizona. First three starts were great. So two completely different outings. What are your thoughts when you look at Trevor Rogers?
I mean, even the last two, I mean, hell, the last three starts, it's been seventeen strikeouts, three walks. Like, that's, he's fine. I think I'm not worried about Trevor Rogers. And he actually barely makes this list, right? The minimum was a 4 ERA and a 1.3 whip. Well, Trevor Rogers at a 4.08 and a 1.33. Like, he's barely on this list. Again, I'm going to go back to the ball rate and swinging strike. Like, he's at 33% ball. That's really good. He's throwing a ton of strikes and he's missing bats, almost 13% swing strikes. So, and really the ratios haven't even been that bad. So I'm not worried about Trevor Rogers.
All right. Shane O'Mac, a guy that people are starting to get a little more hyped on as draft season came to an end, as he was looking better in spring, not the ace of old, but serviceable nonetheless. ADP of 148. 18 innings pitched for Shane McClanahan, ERA of 5, 1.33, 18 strikeouts, 4.64 xERA, and an 8% K to walk, Ryan. 8% K to walk. He's not, his first pitch strikes 55% of the time. That's not ideal, but does have an okay swinging strike rate. So, and the velo is at 95, which I think is the most important part, honestly, to me. But what's your thoughts on Shane McClanahan?
Worried. Yeah, very worried. This to me, this obviously is not the same Shane McClanahan, and that's what we, I mean, we always worry about, right? With these, like, especially long term injuries, it's like, is he healthy? Can he pitch? That's like step one, but step two is the pitcher any version of the pre-injury self? And in Shane McClanahan's case, it's just not, the control's not there. He's not getting ahead in counts. He's not really missing bats. He's actually gotten quite lucky from it. It's kind of weird that kind of the luck factors. Lucky for the BABIP and homer to fly, but like every runner that does get on, there's a low thing there. So I don't know. I think Shane McClanahan is in trouble.
All right. I don't completely disagree with you. I like seeing the velocity up, but the command is completely off the rails, which, you know, after the surgeries and everything he has, I think he could expect, I would say. But
right. And I don't really care that the velocity's up. Like, I care more if the velocity is down for some of these guys. Like, if your velocity's up and you're not missing bats and the control's not there, then we don't play in velocity leagues as a category.
Maybe we should, based on everything else. We shouldn't play in saves leagues. Let's play velocity leagues. Shane Boz, ADP of 151, 22 innings pitched, 4.91 ERA, 1.55 WHIP, 19 strikeouts on Tuesday evening, 6 1/3, yeah. 4 earned, 2 walks, 4 Ks against the Royals. Those runs came in the 7th, pretty much. They left him out to dry, and that was, he's actually having a quasi decent start, which is frustrating because I think the kid is still very good, but hasn't shown it yet this year. Ryan, what's your outlook on Shane Boz, who? Like, everything looks okay to me, but it's not ideal.
Yeah, it just looks kind of meh. The skills have taken a step back. I mean, we were big. The big thing that we were in on Boz was, like, the skills were awesome. The results weren't there. And now the skills, again, it's whatever, four or five starts at this point could change. Could just be a slow start for Shane Boz, but not great. And looking at Shane Boz's next two starts, it's against the Astros and at the Yankees. Both very strong lineups against right-handed pitching. So I don't even know if I want to throw Shane. I'm not dropping Shane Boz by any means, but I don't know if I want to throw those two starts.
Well, that's the thing, is I haven't benched on majority of my leagues even this week. Like, he's a guy I don't want to drop at all, because I still believe in him, or at least I want to see some more, because as we've talked many times, not a whole lot of better options out there to begin with. So I'd rather hold Boz and see if he can figure it out. But I think I only started him where I had no choice this week, essentially. So I probably won't be starting in the next 2 weeks, to your point, on these ones. Tatsuya Imai on the IL through a bullpen for the first time since going on the IL with dead arm. Don't have to say a whole lot, but I will say 8 innings pitched, 7.27, 2.08 whip, 13 Ks, and I am concerned because the way he discussed not being able to acclimate to the United States and other factors, like, I get it. I'm not judging him for that. I'm just saying, there's been a lot of excuses thrown out there for two starts, and it worries me.
Agreed. I think, there's a lot of stuff going on here on off the field that's not great. It's interesting. I was just looking at some of the NFBC ownership rates for Imai. 88% owned in main events, started in one main, which is not ideal. 73% in the 12 teamers. So folks are starting to cut back. Again, these are non-IL leagues, so you kind of have to make that decision. I'm just not convinced once EMI comes back that this is going to turn around. There's just a lot going on here. So, yeah, very concerned. I can see why you would drop Tetsuya EMI if you have other injuries on your team.
On the one league I had him in, it was a 12-team league, was our Vegas 12-teamer. I did drop him this past week. So he is
gone. Took him in the Vegas listener?
I took him as like a FOMO. I'm like, I don't have a share. He was looking good in spring. I'm like, yeah, I'll give a shot on him. He's like my SP 3 or 4. I'll give it a whirl. The whirl did not go well. It's like the tilt-a-whirl. All right, Luis Castillo, your boy, ADP of 160, 18 innings pitch, 5.4 ERA, 1.8 whip, 17 strikeouts on Tuesday evening against the A's. 5 innings, 2 earned, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Started out rough. He hunkered down after the first inning. I thought it was going to get ugly quick for Luis Castillo. 11% K to walk, Ryan. I think you're going to be okay where you're going to go with this. I still am slightly concerned that age has caught up to him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be like a drastic decline, though. I don't know. I always catch crap whenever like Luis Castillo has a bad inning. Everyone gets on me, but it's just, you know, the price of being famous, I guess. I don't know, man. I think Castillo, yeah, exactly. Castillo, I think, is just he's serviceable mid-rotation 15-teamer guy for me. It is somebody who you can try and stream based on home away. He does look like a different guy at I will always call it Safeco. I don't know why I have allegiance to an insurance company, but Safeco, I guess I'll still call it. Pretty damn good at home, pretty rough on the road. So if you want to kind of use that line of demarcation for Luis Castillo, you can do that. But yeah, I obviously this isn't peak Luis Castillo anymore, but I also don't think he's like, I don't think he's washed by any means. I think he'll just be serviceable.
He did give up 7 earned runs against the Astros in Seattle 2 starts ago. So he's got that.
The Astros are like the best lineup in baseball this year.
I say, weirdly enough, he had a 90% first pitch strike rate, a 13.2% swing strike. Some of his best stuff of the season just got smacked around the yard in that one.
But, what's his next to? Let's see. What's my guy up to? So A's tonight at Minnesota is his next start. So that is a road start, but Minnesota's
a good start.
Yeah, I think I'm throwing that. And then he's home against the Royals on May 3rd. So I'm definitely in 15 teamers starting Luis Castillo and probably in 12s for those two.
Yeah, he's barely rosterable in 12s for me. Like he's a streamer in 12s. Okay. He just doesn't light the lamp in 12s compared to other guys you can try to play games with. Like, I don't know. Like, would you rather have Luis Castillo or Shane Boz?
In a 15 Castillo and a 12 Boz.
That's my point with Castillo in a 12. Like, he just, if you're looking for the 12 upside, Castillo just doesn't bring it at all. There's really nothing. I would be shocked if he ever gets you a double digit K game this year. Where Boz, I would not be shocked if he strikes out 10. And
yeah,
those are kind of needle movers in those formats. So, yeah. All right, Tanner Bibee. Now this has been a very wild one. Obviously, a couple years back we thought he was the next best thing. That has not happened. ADP of 171, 24 innings pitched, 4.81 ERA, 1.52 WHIP, 23 strikeouts for Tanner Bibee. He has a 13% K to walk, which is obviously not ideal with Tanner Bibee, but he's a guy, if you just do game log hunting, it's like good start, horrible start, and like good and not bad. Like it's been a really weird, he's only gone above 5 innings, 2 out of 5 starts. It's been a really weird season for Tanner Bibee.
Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, it's just been one good start. It was his first start at Seattle, which again, they were terrible to start the season.
You don't think the last start versus Baltimore wasn't any good to you?
No, it was not. I don't look at earned runs, Bubba. I look at K's and walks.
Well, we are talking ERA and WHIP, so that's what I was asking.
No, I don't think his last start was good. I mean, it was better than the Cole Reagan's 1K 4 walk start.
17.7% swinging strike.
No, I don't know, man. I don't think
10 ground balls. I was like, that's what we want from Tanner Bibee.
That's yeah. We don't want 3 walks and 5Ks though. We don't want that.
Well, that's what Lewis
gives you. I have not. Are you defending Tanner Bibee? I mean, I'm
trying
to. With this. I mean, what are you doing? Like, you talk about Tanner Bibee. I don't know.
No. Tell me what's
you
wrong.
You want me
him.
To say something
Tell
else
me what's
that he's good? Just to freaking not,
I still want him to be this bad.
Jesus. You talk.
No, it's your turn. Go.
I said my piece. I don't think he's any good.
He's not that good. I don't have him rostered anywhere. Okay. I just think he's better than this. It's what's frustrating to like watch him pitch, because let's not forget that Seattle start, he left with an injury. And
well,
then everyone
great.
On the IL.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like it's bizarro world with Tanner Bibee. But yeah, just doesn't get deep into games. That's one of the most tilting parts about him.
All right, Bibee, let's end this on so he gets Houston on Wednesday. That'll go spectacularly. But then at home against the Rays, at Kansas City. His next two, I don't know, man. He's tough.
He's a tough one, but you know what else is tough? Aaron Nola, ADP of 181, 26 innings pitched, 5.06 ERA, 1.46 WHIP, 29 strikeouts for Aaron Nola. Does have a 60% K to walk, which is really nice to see for Mr. Nola. Swinging strike rate's not too bad. 91 mile an hour fastball, if that's what does it for you. Yeah, I won't talk this time. I'll be quiet. What are your thoughts on your guy, Aaron Nola? My guy.
I think I've got one share, maybe two. This isn't looking ideal for Aaron Nola. A precipitous decline in fastball velocity throughout his career. Really, the last few seasons, it's never been like a firm drop. But the last four seasons for Nola, 92.7 on the fastball, 92.5. Last year, 91.9, and now 91.7. Swinging strikes are at the lowest point of his career. Again, not horrible, like 11%, but pitching to a little bit too much contact. And we all know Aaron Nola is hittable. So I'll throw this back to you. Aaron Nola or Luis Castillo?
I'll have to take Luis Castillo at that point. That's terrifying.
I think so too. I think Nola is still going to have some starts, but I don't. The thing with Nola that I always loved in his heyday was you had the killer volume, and the skills were just a lot better than this. And now you still have the killer volume, except now it actually kills you.
I was going to say, so, yeah, the killer is the
killer right is the volume.
Yeah.
So I'm very worried about Nola. I don't think he's bad enough to drop, but I don't know. Maybe he is in 12s.
In 12s, he's a streamer at best. He's definitely a 15s.
He's Aaron Nola is in, I believe this is 12s. Aaron Nola is 97% started in NFBC 12 teamers.
This week he faces the Atlanta Braves, and he had a two-step this week at the Cubs and at the Braves. That's why.
Yeah. Okay.
People yearn for that two-step. I think it's at Miami next week.
Yeah. Would you throw that? Miami's been decent.
And then it's at home versus the A's. That's the other part. Unlike Luis Castillo, Aaron Nola's home, not pitcher friendly.
Yeah. 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 I know. If I'm me, I'd probably have Aaron Nola in, and I just die a slow death.
You cancel out all the strong Shota shares you have.
Yeah, he's my Shota kryptonite.
Yep. All right, to the right side of the boom board, Kodai Senga. Talked about him earlier with Christian Scott coming up. Kodai Senga, an ADP of 192, 17 innings pitched, 8.83 ERA, 1.9 WHIP, 22 Ks. We can dig into whatever numbers you want to talk about. I was concerned midway through last year, and I'm still not concerned this year.
Right. And the biggest thing, this is another example where, and this is why, honestly, myself included, velocity was up in spring like this. You know, could this be the Kodai Senga of 2023 when he was throwing 96 and had that, you know, sub 3 ERA? I don't think anyone was expecting that, but like, hey, after a couple years of injuries, is Kodai Senga right? And that velocity has held. my biggest thing. He just doesn't know where it's going, man.
Nope,
it's not at all. The walk rate is just sky high. He cannot get a first pitch strike. That's another one that I do look at first pitch. That's a more kind of traditional HQ metric. Believe it's like 60 some odd percent is league average. Senga's at 51%. So half the time he's starting 1-0. Like the control is just not there. And I mean, he's missing some bats. That's nice, but the control is not there. And it wasn't there last year. It was 11% walk last year. This season it's 12. Yeah, I'm very concerned about Kode Senga.
Yeah, you nailed the big parts. He's not getting ahead of the count. 40% ball rate's horrific. Like, it's crazy because he still has a great swinging strike rate. You mentioned the velocity, but he's also a heavy fly ball pitcher, and he's giving up dongs left and right. Like, it's a bad combination. If he's not striking you out, he's pretty much walking you or giving up a home run. Hey, go close for the Jays. Jeff Hoffman would say hi. He's got that repertoire.
Ouch.
But yeah, I'd be very, very like the weird thing is Senga in a 12 is interesting because he could put those ceiling games together, but he could also bury you at the same time. So you'd have to pick a core like this week. Senga is at home versus the Rockies. I'd be intrigued with that start. Next week's at home versus Washington. Washington's pesky, doesn't strike out a lot. And then it's at Colorado. Like, I'm out. And he's got two step against Detroit and the Yankees. I don't think so. So that answers that question for me at least.
Yep.
All right, Mike Burrows, ADP of 204, one of the biggest quote-unquote sleeper darlings this draft season. 26 innings pitch, 6.75 ERA, 1.69 whip, 25 strikeouts for Mike Burrows. And this has not been close to what any of us expected we would see from coming from Pittsburgh to Houston. What are your thoughts on Burrows this go-around?
He's tough. This is one I do have plenty of Mike Burrows. I mean, we were both in on him early in draft season before, before it was cool to be, I don't know. But I mean, even still throughout, I was pretty in on Mike Burrows. Frustrating. I mean, his most recent start, I think, was perfect through 4 2/3 with 7 strikeouts. And then he couldn't get through the inning. It's like, so I do think there is something there with Mike Burrows. I think the skills are there. I think the guy just needs to learn how to pitch, and that could just take some time. I know, like, folks will point to the arsenal. It's weird to have a changeup as your primary pitch, and Burrows throws that more than a quarter of the time. It's his most thrown pitch. So do we need some other type of put-away pitch because people know the changeup is coming? I don't know. But I still think there's something there. I think Mike Burrows and the per pitch metrics look fine. The ball rate looks good. He's missing bats. It's again 13% swing strike. So I'm playing the long game here. I think the skills are here. I think Houston can find something with Mike Burrows. And am I starting him all the time? Maybe I bench him and see how this rough patch, how long this lasts. But I'm not giving up on Mike Burrows. I'm not starting him against the Yankees his next start, but then he goes at Baltimore. I'll probably throw that, and then the next one's at the against the Dodgers. I'm not doing that. So that's kind of where I'm at. I still believe in the skills, but I do want to kind of sit him while he figures stuff out.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, because the skills do look very, very nice, to your point. Results obviously have not shaken there. It would be a whole different story, like you mentioned, 4 2/3 perfect, and then boom goes dynamite. But I'm intrigued for sure, but it's very, very difficult to start him these days. Jack Leiter, my dog, ADP of 217, 20 innings pitch, 4.87 ERA, 1.48 whip, 24 strikeouts on the season. Leiter gets the Pirates on Wednesday for anybody with the being bored during the middle of the day. But it's interesting. His xERA is 3.84, which I love. His K to walk 16%, one of the better ones we've actually discussed so far. Gets ahead in the count 55% of the time, so it's a little below average to your point, but not horrific. Forces swing and misses. I like him a lot. I know there's going to be some wild times with him. I was all in on him on draft season. It's really only been one really bad start. Everything else has been quite serviceable with Jack Leiter, so I'm not concerned. What are your thoughts on him?
I thought this was a mistake that Jack Leiter was on here, because I thought he was like really good. And I look at the game log, first two starts, 17 Ks and 2 walks, 3 earned runs. And then he goes at the Dodgers, four strikeouts, four walks, not great, five earned. And then at the A's. So, like, yeah, his two starts, you know, I'm making excuses for the guy, but it's in Sacramento and it's at LA. Like, those are pretty rough. So hopefully it's just a little blip for Jack Leiter, because the first two starts of Jack Leiter, the parts that I remember, the parts that I've seen, were really good. So I think if you were in on Jack Leiter, like we both were before the season, I don't think this what he's done so far changes. I think the ceiling is quite high for Jack Leiter.
Yep, he's still locked into all of my lineups. Andrew Abbott, a guy I have zero shares of this season, 222 ADP, 24 innings pitch, 5.84 ERA, 1.74 WHIP, 15 strikeouts. Ryan, I dare I say, coming back to earth.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can say that. 15 Ks, 11 walks is not ideal. The control is gone. And the whiffs are not there either. Andrew Abbott has kind of lived on being an extreme fly ball guy, which doesn't sound great in Great American Small Park. But the last few years, it's been a lot of like infield fly balls, which is pretty much as good as a strikeout in that it's an automatic out. But even that, like, it doesn't really matter if you're striking out like three batters a game and not missing bats to it. So this is very concerning. But again, both you and I, neither of us have been Andrew Abbott guys, even when he was pitching well on the surface.
Agreed. I think we could skip Shane Smith as he's in AAA. Right, yeah,
now. Didn't even get a chance really to
to improve on his numbers. Hell. Let's talk Ryan Nelson. 241, 241 ADP, 20 innings pitch, 6.97 ERA, 1.45 WHIP, 20 strikeouts. Honestly, when you write you do your Bloom Board or your speculator column, if you could erase one start, this would be it. When he went a third of an inning, he gave up 8 earned runs in his last outing. Yeah. Just prior to that, it was, you know, 11 innings, 2 runs, 12 Ks. If you can go deeper if you want. He's been pretty good this year outside of that last just complete disaster.
Just, dude, that's probably the worst. That's got to be the worst start of the season, right?
Pretty sure. A third of an inning with 8 runs, 1 walk, 1 K. Pretty sure. It's crazy. No home runs.
Really?
Kept the ball in the yard.
This was on Sunday, wasn't it?
He had a 16.7% swinging strike.
There you go. There you go. Just got smoked. Yeah, just got smoked. And you're right. The other outings serviceable. I mean, Ryan Nelson, what was his ADP on this thing? So we're getting a little bit later in the draft. This is 241. So, like, I don't really view Ryan Nelson as anything more than a streamer anyway. Hopefully you didn't stream him on Sunday, because that was brutal. I don't.
You would have been part of a two-step. People were.
Yeah, that's true. That's right, because Sunday would be the second half of a two-step. So that hurts.
Yep.
Not really. I don't want to say not concerned, but like the skills look okay for Ryan Nelson. I think he's a streamer. I thought he was before the season. I think he is now. Next two matchups would be at home against the Padres, and then at Chicago. So I think fringe in both of those types of matchups. Chicago, depending on the wind, of course.
I imagine in a 15, you're probably starting Ryan Nelson's the thing. Like, he's better than a lot of the other options that we've. Yeah. Like, I think he's actually he's actually pretty good, man. Like, it's just one really bad start.
But it is tough to roll someone out there after he just got.
Oh, yeah. He's probably sitting for so many teams this week. I don't know if you still have the roster race.
I do. Let's see. Ryan Nelson is 88% owned and 28% started in 12 teamers. So,
yes, that well, I yeah. can see.
Dude, it's hard. It's hard to leave my man in after he just.
Oh, because, dude, he's in Mexico City on Sunday. After allowing 8 runs in the third inning. Like, talk about, like, might as well go throw him on the moon. Jeez Louise.
Put him up in
there's a confidence boost.
Integrity.
Yeah. There's a confidence booster. Yeah, we know it sucked for you here last time out. But it's a good thing. Early, you get some rest. We're going to Mexico City. Don't drink the water. Good Lord. That's gonna be a rough one for him.
Yeah, ixnay on the Padres start.
Oh man. That's what I was wondering. He said Padres. Like, wait a minute. And I had to look at
and I think I said at home Padres, so my fault, people.
No, so then it's the following week's at Wrigley for a Friday matinee to top it off. So that even like is always tricky. Yeah,
there you go. Hamstring strain. He'll pull a Sunny.
Then it's the Mets, then it's at the. That's a rough schedule, man. Poor kid. All right. Cade Cavalli, ADP 258, 19 innings pitched, 412 ERA, 173 whip, 18 strikeouts, a 491 xERA. So they're saying he's been worse than he's pitched. His first pitch strike, horrible. When I had Dustin McComas on the show, Bench with Bubba, 2 weeks ago, or last week, we said you could drop Cade Cavalli. Is there anything you see that tells us we should have been more, you know, taking our time with him?
And that show was awesome, by the way. I love how Dustin breaks down.
He's really good. He's really good.
The Bryce Elder stories with Texas. Like, I don't know, he just knows things that was a very enjoyable listen. I agree. And again, we're getting to the point in the draft, right? Pick 258 for Cade Cavalli. This is kind of where you're trying to take some shots and hit those breakouts. If it doesn't work out, you can move on. And I think in this case, right, I think you can move on from Cade Cavalli. The skills just are not there. And I think it's honestly as simple as that.
Andrew Painter, ADP of 276, 18 innings pitch, 442 ERA, 136 whip, 20 Ks. He has a 372 xERA line and a 20% K to walk, which is a million times better than anything we've seen so far tonight. He's allowed 300 runs or less than 3 out of 4 starts. He's only gone 5 innings and 2 out of the 4 starts, but they're limiting his innings or pitches. It's like 80 to 90 pitches right now. So what are your thoughts on Andrew Painter?
I think this is pretty clearly super high BABIP, 370. Like that's just real tough to work around and pitch deep into games. Strikeouts are there, walks are not. That's what I want to see. Not missing, like, I don't know if he holds a 25% strikeout rate. Like, he's not missing that many bats. It's a 10% swinging strike. So I don't know if Andrew Painter, like, I'm not going to be here and say, yeah, keep Andrew Painter in. I don't think he's in the clear in terms of that. But he has pitched much better than the results. And again, he is another one where, like, a 4.42 ERA isn't that bad. A 1.36 whip isn't that bad. Like, it's not killing you. So, Who are Painter's next few starts? He goes at Atlanta on this weekend, and then at Miami. I'd be worried about Atlanta. I'd probably throw Painter. Yeah, I would throw Painter against Miami.
Yes, you throw the paint at Miami for sure. And then the following week, he gets the A's at home, and then a potential two step after that. So, yeah, you're rolling Painter for the most part after this week, unless he gets real bad on the weekend. All right, Noah Cameron, I know where you're going to go with this one. ADP of 293, 20 innings pitched, 5.4 ERA, 1.45 whip, 17 Ks. The depressing part here is first two starts, pretty good. Last two starts, not so much. White Sox and at the Bronx really lit him up. I'll let you have the floor from here.
Got his tits lit, as they say. So, yes. You know, those early victory laps you were taking with Noah Cameron.
I was not taking any victory laps, you know that.
I think you rolled your ankle Bloomfield style after the second start there. So, no, you were not. I don't know. I'm not going to try and bag the guy too much. This is a late pick, whatever. I just don't think Noah Cameron's has that high of a ceiling. It's an even lower swing strike than it was last year, giving up a ton of fly balls. And again, that could matter in his home park where it's a little bit more hitter friendly this year. So I don't know. I would say a low end streamer, Noah Cameron for me.
Yeah, Cameron's a 15 team streamer. Like, there's going to be starts that are pretty nice. Like, it's the Angels this week. Angels actually hit lefties well. Next week, he's in Sacramento. I want nothing to do with that. But like the following week, he gets the Guardians and Detroit and Kansas City. Maybe. Like, it's nothing really stands out as a must go right now. So yeah. I don't think I'd have him on a roster. I'd be looking to stream him from time to time off the waiver wire if possible.
He is 97% owned, Cameron is, in NFBC main events. Again, that's just the state of pitching, man.
Yeah, that's why
it's been good, but he's on every team.
He's healthy. He's in a rotation. You just like say, okay, I don't have to pitch him every week, but he's here.
Yep.
It sucks, but that's where it is right now. Last one we got here, Tyler Mahle of the San Francisco Giants. ADP of 301, 18 innings pitched, 7.23 ERA, 1.93 whip, 21 strikeouts for Tyler Mahle. Like, if you want to try to find a grain of salt, it's a 4.2 xERA. That's like a full three runs off. But a 10% K to walk, abysmal. swinging strike rate is 9%. That's freaking awesome. 42% home run to fly ball. Not sustainable. I'll give him that one. 3 home runs per 9. Man, you are just lighting it up here, Tyler Molly. 8 runs in Great American Small Park where 4 of those home runs went. The 3 prior starts, it was 5 2/3, no runs, 5 innings, 5 runs against the Mets, 2 homers. Then if he doesn't give up long balls, he pitches well, Ryan. I don't have a whole – he's 5 or more Ks in every start. He's, weirdly enough, probably a streamer.
It's funny. When I was running the numbers for this board, it was basically a tie, like very similar ADP between Tyler Molle and Roki Sasaki. I'm glad I put Molle on the board and not Sasaki, just for your little soliloquy there. That was impressive.
Yeah, like weirdly though, he is a streamer because like his good starts are actually really good, like streaming wise. But man, like the Mets and the at Great American, like you were going to start him in Great American anyways. Like if you started in Great American, you have some massive roster issues.
He pitches tomorrow against the Dodgers. That's
like he pitched at home against Philadelphia, pitched well. Pitched at home versus the Yankees, pitched well. Like for a streamer, pitched well, I should say.
After that though, so obviously Dodgers, it could be brutal even at home. But after that, it's at Philly, at Tampa.
In a 2-step. He's going to be rostered. I don't trust it. Like the Tampa start, I like. The Philly start, terrified. Then after that, it's at home versus Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's, I'd do it, but he's sneaky. Then the following week, he's at the Dodgers. Like, good Lord.
I don't know if I can throw that 2-step, man.
Philly's been rough. Like, they're hitting righties better than lefties. Lefties hitting below 200 right now. Yeah. I'd probably do it, but man, you don't sleep well on that at all. But I just want to at least make the point. Like, he's not pitching well, but it's like really, really good streams or you're out. And like I said, you wouldn't pitch him against in Great American. If you pitch him in Great American, then wow, I don't know what to tell you at that point. Just being honest, I want to check something real quick. So if I take that Great American start out,
I don't even remember talking or even looking at Tyler Molle all draft season.
I got him in DC's because I knew he'd sign somewhere like him. Hauser, like so many of those veteran guys that would eat it. Corbin, obviously, like they're gonna sign somewhere. And like Molly, if you take away that bad start in Great American, it's a 4.3 ERA, an xFIP of 3.36, 15 K, 7 walks, and 14 2/3. Like that's doable with an ADP of 301.
Sure.
So I just wanted to point out, like, yeah, the numbers are horrible. But 8 runs in Great American, 4 of his 6 home runs came in that game. So take a step back from the big picture, I guess. I guess I'm not talking myself into him. I'm also not talking myself off the ledge with Tyler Molle. All right, enough of that chatter. Any final thoughts on this board where it's – I think we're actually out on more guys than we're in on, which is crazy.
Yeah, and again, kind of as we got later on, we got a little bit more sour. But some of these earlier guys, yeah, we were pretty harsh on, so – I don't know. Hopefully that was helpful in terms of just our thought process, what stats we're using, we're looking at schedules to kind of see what we're doing for the next 2-3 weeks. Cause that does matter if you're streaming pitchers. Is if I'm not going to use someone for 3 weeks, do they need to be on my roster? So, yeah, I liked it.
All right. Let's hit some Discord questions up here, Martins. No, we don't need that. So he's just making fun of you for Luis Castillo.
Yeah.
At SP29.
Yeah, we can skip that.
Dustin Anderson says, how do you have access to most drafted players? Or to his most. So that's more of a comment as well. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, this is great stuff.
I love watching you struggle because there was some chatter in the show question.
Kudzu King says, are we buying or selling O'Neill Cruz after his hot start? If you're selling or buying, what kind of return or specific trade targets would you aim for?
Yeah, so I mean, the last part of that's always tough, just because it's so much depends on your league and categories and dynamics of the trade market. It's funny to see O'Neill Cruz as I flip from pitcher mode over to hitter mode. It is pretty much the exact same skills as it was last year, and wildly different results. It's the same exact strikeout rate. Basically the same ground ball, fly ball, basically the same raw power, like a few more barrels this year for O'Neill Cruz. Yet now he's hitting 292 instead of 200. and he's already got 6 home runs to last year's 20. So I think this will surprise no one. I think it's somewhere in between, which gets you maybe a 240, 250, probably 240 hitter, maybe mid 20s home runs, and the guy's running wild, 40 steals. So like, is that, you know, a buy high, sell high, whatever? I think that's kind of the expectation for me with Eunil Cruz, and he's hitting against lefties. So like, yep. I think he's going to play. So I would have to say I would buy maybe 60% of what Eunil Cruz is doing right now. And I think that could be a pretty good fantasy player.
Yeah, I think it'd be very good. So don't sell him cheap is what I'll say on that one. Our buddy Corbin, Mitch Keller wasn't even on the list. Which two do you expect to bounce back? One based on vibes and one based on skills and looks. So well, when you, yeah.
Nate Evaldi based on both.
Obviously.
Both vibes and skills. But honestly, from a skill standpoint, Nate Evaldi is the one I'm least worried about. Honestly, with him, that's more just it's the ticking time bomb, right? When's the injury going to hit?
Sadly, yes.
You want that positive regression to strike quickly. So Nate Evaldi for me. I think he's the clear one that I'm not worried about.
I guess I'm going to give I'm going to take a nickname from one and give it to this one because he's actually good. Captain Jack Leiter.
Transferring captaincy?
I think we're going to have to because, Flaherty's last. Well, that was a freaking Boston Patriots Day game. But, Jack Leiter would be my guy for sure.
A new captain.
Yep, I think so. My captain. Adam W. says, any hope that even year Nola shows up? I'll let you answer that.
I mean, to answer the question literally, he has shown up in a even year.
Never mind.
I'm worried about Aaron Nola.
I'd be very worried about Aaron Nola. Father Time is gonna win this one, it feels like. Adam Brunson says, would or have you dropped any of them in Fab? That'll speak volumes in their outlook. Yes, so I think I mentioned the ones throughout the show.
I have not. Yeah, I mean, it kind of depends, but like, I don't think I have dropped anybody outside of Shane Smith in Fab, and that's an injury type deal. Who have you dropped?
I dropped Cavalli.
Yes. Okay. Same.
Cavalli's been dropped. Imai's been dropped for me. Think that's it on this list for the guys that I have rostered. I've held my one McClanahan share. I've held all my Trevor Rogers and Sonny Gray. Evaldi's obviously. Jack Leiter, obviously.
But it's just in a 15 team league, it's tough. Honestly, it's tough to drop any of these guys.
Yeah.
Picking up?
Well, that's what Dustin and I said with Cavalli, you still could hold him in a 15.
You could still hold him in a 15. And a 12, sure, yeah. You can play a little bit more of the game. So a lot of it depends on your league size. But and we cited the roster rates for a few of these guys in 12s and 15s. And again, pretty much universally rostered. And I think that's more just a sign of, the pitching pool. It's just that bad.
James says, Ryan's SP weekly planner really likes Cameron and Abbott's matchups going forward. How do you feel about their short-term outlook?
Yeah, so I'm glad you emphasized likes their matchups and not the actual hitters. What is Abbott's matchup again? Let's see. Andrew Abbott is, home Detroit, but that's this week. Detroit's been bad against lefties, and then road Rockies. So I think you're throwing that. The Rockies are terrible against lefties. So I think Andrew Abbott actually, despite how bad he's been, you could probably try and get by with his next 1-2 starts. Definitely the road Rockies one.
Yep. And then Max Crow says, are there any good buy low opportunities here in trading leagues in your eyes? Well, I think Jack Leiter for me, if people are somehow low on him.
Yeah, I would still like Mike Burrow's ratios have been so bad.
I was going to ask you about him.
Like, I think you
cheap.
Yeah, and like you don't want to give up too much because there's a chance Mike Burrow's doesn't figure it out. But that's one who I would be interested in acquiring if it doesn't cost you that much. And again, I mean Evaldi, but yeah,
I think for guys that maybe cheap wise, Burrow's is interesting. If people are sour on Shane Baz, like taking a chance on him isn't sure. a bad thing.
Yeah.
And even Ryan Nelson, like we talked about, is that one really bad start. So people are like worried about that. Even if he gets blown up in Mexico City, that's not the cartel. It's actually the game. Give that a whirl as well.
So, I can't imagine trading for Ryan Nelson.
Like, you trade for Mike Burrows, but like Ryan Nelson, we just talked about it. If you take away the 8 run disaster, yeah. things are fine.
I don't know, man. It's too late in the night to debate Mike Burrows versus Ryan Nelson trading.
Okay. All right, we got one from the chat here, JD Bowles. It was so good. He wrote it twice. Given the
whoa, what is this word?
I'm gonna say the outrageous bids on.
Oh, that's Arigetti gotta be. I thought it Poutard. Yeah. I thought it. Okay, never mind. It's a typo. I was like, whoa,
the
that's
outrageous
a word.
Bids on Spencer Arigetti last week. What do you think Tolley and Scott will go for? Thanks.
Yeah,
a lot. We talked kind of a little bit at the top of the show, but I'll give you a shot here, Ryan.
And yeah, to give some context to this, Spencer Arigetti was what was his average?
I'm pulling it up right now.
It was triple digits. I know that.
Yeah, for Arigetti, thanks to the Fab Tracker in 12s, his average was 107, max of 278. In main events, average was 187, max of 412.
You think Tolley, assuming Tolley pitches well, would he go for that much? Because you don't have the for sure role.
That's what Arigetti if you find out by Sunday he's in the rotation, then I think he goes for that pretty easily. Like Noah Schultz went on average of 191 in 15s and 150 in 12s.
But again, we know Noah Schultz is in the rotation.
That's what I'm saying. If we find out by Sunday, if we don't know he's in the rotation, he still will go for over 100 and some. He's probably more like an $80 pitcher.
But I mean more like in the rotation going. I like Tolley will be in the rotation this weekend.
Going forward. I'm on your same side here.
Gotcha.
I still think even if we have questions and they haven't sent him down yet, I think he's still going for like 80 to 120 bucks, somewhere in that range. Like if we know he's in the rotation, he's closer to probably 200 bucks.
Yeah. And I think Tanner Scott will be triple digits as well, especially, I mean, so Christian much will Scott. Depend on the
Christian Scott.
Christian Scott. Sorry. I thought it was Tanner Scott. Probably same deal as Tolley because Christian Scott's.
I think he's better. Well, we don't know if he's sticking because they haven't committed to keeping Peterson in the pen. Now they should, but like I think Christian Scott's really good, but it's coming off the TJ and everything.
I mean, I'd rather have Tolley than Scott. I think
I would 100% rather have Tolley. Yes, but,
Basically, we just talked a lot and didn't, I think, directly answer the question, but just so much depends on how those guys fare this first week is how much they're going to go. If they pitch well, it's going to be, it will be triple digits again.
Yeah, but in the end, I think there'll be quite a bit. Our buddy, Mr. Gialdi says, are you buying Walbert Urena with the Angels? That's only if he sticks in the rotation. That's my concern. The skills are pretty good, but I was looking at him earlier. He's not guaranteed to stick around. Like he's got Kansas City this week, but then I guess they have him kind of, there's nothing in stone though. So I don't know. Do you buy into his skills?
I don't know enough about him yet, honestly. Because he started in the bullpen and then all of a sudden threw 92 pitches his last start. Jesus.
He got promoted from, he was in AAA, then put two starts out of the pen, then made the start, like you mentioned. He's 22, super, super young. Like, I hadn't even been focusing on him for PT tomorrow's because he seems so far off. Like, all of his ERAs are above four, strikeouts were mediocre, and he just lit the world on fire in that debut. So, like, I'm kind of torn on who is this real pitcher that we're seeing here. So I guess I'd be interested, especially in the 15s. He's got a rotation spot. But like even his two minor league starts, he threw 8 1/3 total innings, allowed 6 earned runs with 7 strikeouts and 4 walks. He's had control issues throughout the minors, which most of these young pitchers do. Like he's a walk rate about 12% or higher everywhere he's been.
Yeah, and so a near 40% ball in AA last year. So control is an issue, but he's pretty built up.
No, if he sticks the rotation, strikeouts will be. I saw a great comp on him. It was either Sunday or Monday. Someone said this is Jose Urena 3 years, or not Jose Soriano, like 3 years ago.
Soriano's comp.
Which makes sense if you look at the strikeouts, but then the walk concerns. Like, I see where the argument is. So
I noticed you skipped over Gialdi's previous comment before that. conveniently.
It wasn't a question.
Well, it was a comment.
We're at the question portion comment. Of the show.
All right. I'm gonna the comment and states on, Cole Reagan's might be broken.
And for the on that note, any final thoughts, Ryan, before we head out of here?
No, I just wanted to get that last bit in. Time to go ice the ankle. Wake up tomorrow. Tackle a new day. That's all we can do.
Can't open a bag of chips. Won't be able to walk down the stairs. It's going to be a good day.
Elbow's getting better, but yeah, now it's we'll see. We'll see.
All right, everybody. We appreciate you all listening to the show. We'll be back with you guys Thursday night with your Week 6 Fab preview, which once again will have more closer specs, potential prospect starting pitchers, and so much fun. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm BD Entrick, and this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 340. Catch you all next time.